I'm getting started a little bit late this morning, but I heard Bert say something about 10:45, and so I guess that's when I have to end today. Just kidding. Don't worry. I'll still wrap it up and get you out of here on time. So good to be with you. It's been a while since I've had the opportunity to preach, and I feel a little giddy, and so hold on tight. I love you guys. Who brushed their teeth this morning? Oh, I said that and I looked right at a dentist. So everybody, anybody who didn't raise your hand, don't look in that direction. Kids, did you brush your teeth this morning? Did you have to be told to brush your teeth? Uh-huh, yeah. I see the kids, nothing. All the parents are nodding their heads. Who wore a seatbelt? Put your seatbelt on. You know, my first car, I had a Mitsubishi Mirage, and it had one of those automatic chest belts. I don't even know how it worked. The thing that's confusing about it is that I still had to buckle the lap belt. So it's just one buckle. I don't know why. And to make that automatic, but yet I still had to roll my windows like this, it doesn't make any sense to me. But most of you, hopefully, probably wore your seatbelt this morning. How many of you got a cup of coffee? There are certain things that we just do automatically, right? They're just programmed into us. They're just part of our daily life. Has anybody heard of the book Atomic Habits? Anybody read it? Surprising. It's wildly popular. It sold 15 million copies, and it's translated into 15 languages. It's brilliant. And the whole idea is not just setting abstract goals of what you're going to do or some achievement you want to accomplish, but instead it focuses more on who do you want to become, and then making these small, sustainable adjustments to walk into that reality. Brilliant, right? Not a new concept. Good for James Clear, because he's sitting pretty right now. But I want to suggest that this whole idea actually came about by the monastics in about the 4th century when they developed a thing called a rule of life. A rule of life is a way to keep God central. In the Latin, the word rule actually translates as a trellis. So it's these planks, these practices, these rhythms of life that keep us growing upward, that keep the vines of our life from getting all messed up and squirrely on the ground, and it keeps them moving, gives them something to grasp onto so that they can keep growing up towards the sunlight. A rule of life for the monastics was a way for the people of God to first be with God and also to become like God. It prioritizes being in the presence of Jesus. This summer, we have been in a series that we're calling A Soul Detox. And we've been talking about these practices that the monastics did, like silence and Sabbath and singing. Today we're going to talk about scripture. And our goal is not that you would become a nun or a monk and sell all of your possessions and go live somewhere. I have a slide for this. There we go. And go live somewhere in the desert, alone, away from your family. I know it sounds appealing sometimes. But instead, we're asking, would you develop a sustainable rule of life, a trellis, incorporating these things into your daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly rhythms that you would, as a believer surrendered to Jesus, continue to grow deeper in love with him. That's what we're asking you to do. It is the real picture of abiding in the vine. And it's in this trellis, in this structure, in this rule of life that we find that rest for our souls that we are all so hungry for. It's where we find it. So today we're going to talk about the practice of Scripture. Engaging with this living, breathing, active, powerful, transformative word. And I, you know, in the physical, in the natural, we eat to become full, right? In the spirit, we eat to become more hungry. It does take a step of cracking this thing open, of chewing, of taking in this word, and you will become hungry. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for writing down your word to us. Thank you, God, that we really can't say that we can't hear your voice, because your voice is written all over these pages. Your word to us, thousands of years ago and right here and now. God, would you cultivate in us a love for it, an honor for it, and a place for it within our lives. Help us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. This book, it is divine revelation. It is God's word to us. It is a window into heaven. It's God's redemptive plan for the world. It is your salvation story. It's the lamp to our feet. It's the light to our path. It is the truth. Not a truth, but it is the truth. It is inerrant and infallible. It is perfect. It's supernatural. You know, one of the things that I am always amazed by is that when you read the book of Proverbs, how many times it relates the reading of the word of God and health to your bones and your body. It has the power to heal you. This is not just words on a page from thousands of years ago, but it is alive and moving, and it is powerful if we'll let it be. This word has shaped me. It has brought me back to life in times when I have felt so dry and low and lonely. And just a personal word of wisdom, the quality times in this thing, because I know some of you are sitting here and you're saying, you know, I read and I don't remember what I read afterwards. We're going to talk specifically about that today, but I read and I don't remember what I read. Well, you know what? I don't know what I had for breakfast 2 weeks ago, but it still nourished me. It still filled me. It's okay. It's okay that you don't have 85 verses memorized, and it's okay that you don't have a seminary degree. This is nourishment for our bodies, for our souls, for our spirits. And let me just say, too, that the quality, the times of life where I feel the breath of heaven, it comes in quantity. Did you catch that? The quality comes in the quantity. Don't expect to open the word and just every single time be absolutely blown away. But as you practice it, as you visit it, as you are consistently coming to the word, you will find these times within the quantity. Listen, how many of you have planned the most epic day for you and your children to have it blow up in your face? To have it not, to have it not be so epic. Like, honestly, sometimes it's like, there's a meme I saw recently, and, you know, it was a little girl, and she's like riding on a pony, licking an ice cream cone, and she's asking her dad, what's next? The quality, the deep transformative moments come in the quantity. Some of my favorite memories with my kids are just in the normal, mundane, everyday life. It's within the quantity that we have these moments of joy in life. But what I want to do today with the rest of our little tiny bit of time is I want to introduce to you a new way of looking at Scripture. Maybe this is familiar for some of you. But the early church had adopted a method of engaging with Scripture because many of them were illiterate. They didn't know how to read. Those who could read, many of them didn't have access to a Bible. And so what they would do is they would come hungry to church every week, just like you do. And they would, don't laugh, and they would just wait for their leader to read a verse, to read a passage. And they would cling on to that thing, and then they would take it home, and they would rehearse it throughout the week. They would ingest it. They would make it part of who they were. And I think in our plenty, in our abundance, in our having 10 of these sitting on our shelves, we've lost the value for this thing. We've lost somehow the reality that this is God's spoken word for you today. So I want to offer to you what the early church did. It's called Lectio Divina. Do you feel smarter already? Lectio Divina. You don't have to be able to pronounce it to be able to do it. And there's 5 different steps. This is not exegesis. This is not take a seminary degree. This is not academic study, although there is a place for that with the Word of God. This is engagement with Christ. This is reading to know the author. Reading to know him and not know more information about him. So the first step, and I kept, you can go to the next. The Latin is up there, I kind of wish I didn't do that. Sometimes I like to look like I'm smart. Forgive me. First step is silence. Within this step, you are preparing yourself to receive from God. You're slowing down. You're relaxing. You are intentionally releasing the chaos and the noise from your mind. You are stepping into the holy presence of God. And you're asking him to come and be with you. You're asking the author of the book to come and sit and explain the words to you. You're approaching it with reverence, as if you're on holy ground. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture, every last word on these pages, is breathed out by God. You know, I love it. We say that Scripture is inspired by God because through the Holy Spirit, God inspired Moses and Paul and all these guys to write the scripture for us. It's inspired by God. But right here, it actually says that it's exhaled by God. It's expired by God. Inspired and expired. The very breath of God on these pages. Every single word is useful for teaching, reproof, correction, training, and righteousness. Inspired and expired. Second thing we do, we read. Or you listen. Doesn't matter. You read, you listen. You reread, you listen. You read in a different translation, you listen. You meditate, you ruminate, you sit. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going on to my next point. Matthew 4:4 says, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is our meal. This is a feast. As you read, you enter into the scene. This is where it starts to depart from just academic study. You enter into the scene. And so at the Passover meal, when Jesus is sitting around the table and he says, peace I leave with you. You don't say, wonder why he said that. Instead, you enter into the scene and you sit at the table and you say, I'll take that peace. I'll take that peace that you offer. Your peace I take, Lord. Or when you read about Moses passing through the Red Sea, you envision yourself standing there with walls of water on every side, and where there was no way, God has made a way for you. And then you consider the impossibilities in your life, and you stand there on the bank of that sea, and you say, where there is no way, God makes a way, and you envision him parting the waters before you. John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and life abundant. We love that passage. What does it mean? What if you ask God, God, what does life abundant mean? What does it mean for me? What does my life look like if I'm living abundantly? It's different for all of us. It has something to do with your passion, your makeup. What about the passage where the woman is caught in the act of adultery and the Pharisees have thrown her at the feet of Jesus? Men, what do you do with that passage? You're not a woman. Have you ever been exposed? Have you ever had your shame on display? Have you ever been embarrassed? Have you ever been betrayed and abandoned? Have you ever been completely hopeless, thinking there is no way out of this? And then you look up at the eyes of Jesus, and he's reaching out to you saying, who condemns you? I'm the one person who can, and I don't. Come on. What about the passage that says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Don't just read it. Imagine it. Imagine yourself coming to Jesus, crawling up in his lap, sitting next to him. Come to me. Don't let these just be empty words for somebody else at some other time. They were written for you for today. So read and engage. Third step, meditate. This is where we ruminate. We sit with the word. As you read, God highlights things. The Holy Spirit starts bringing words or phrases. He brings them to the surface. Sometimes it's feelings, but let the Holy Spirit, the author of Scripture, lead you in this. I've had people say to me, I just don't know how to meditate. I can't like stop long enough to meditate. Okay, have you ever been anxious about something and it kept you up all night long? Kept you up a little bit? No one wants to raise their hand. You all raise your hand for brushing your teeth. You know how to do that, right? You know how to be anxious. You know how to cling on to a thought and let that thing run your mind and ruin your night of sleep. You know how to meditate. That's meditating. Last week, Mike was talking about our contentment being connected to the content of our thoughts. What if this is the content of your thoughts? What if that anxious spiral starts, and instead of just letting it go, you get out of bed and you open up the Word? Maybe you go to the book of Elijah, because he was anxious, but God made a way for him. Or maybe you go to the Psalms, where the psalmist over and over again is like, God, where are you? Oh, there you are. What if you let this word be the content of your meditation? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. This word is alive, so as soon as you start to read, the conversation has already started. And as you meditate, you shift from reading the word to letting the word read you, letting it touch your heart. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses has just died, leaving Joshua in charge of a people that I wouldn't want to be in charge of. And the Lord is giving him instructions. He's saying, be strong and very courageous. He says this over and over again, even before we get to verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Well, that's great, God, but how? We find it in verse 7. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. Let it be the content of your thoughts, day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Meditate. Keep this thing. In Psalm 119, it says, something about keeping the word in your heart that I might not sin against you. Meditate on it. Keep it close. Keep it close. Number 4, we pray. We pray. Hebrews 4:12 says, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Listen, sometimes we're going to read a passage and we are going to be overwhelmed with joy, overwhelmed with awe, overwhelmed with wonder, taken into a place of worship and delight in who God is. Sometimes we read a passage and he reminds us who we are. Sometimes we read a passage and he reminds us who he is for us. And sometimes we read a passage and he points his finger at something in our lives. And it's in his grace. It's his mercy that does that for us. And then it's up to us to confess when he points. You know, this is called the sword of the Spirit. Not the teddy bear of the Spirit. It's called the sword of the Spirit. It pierces, it divides. Sometimes it hurts a little bit. But sometimes we have these ugly growths, ugly tumors or something that we're unaware of. But when we remain soft to the word of God, when we keep it close, when we meditate on it, God will use it to prick those things and cut them off. We all have sin in our lives. Every last one of you. All of us. Me. We all have sin. It is the seed of your destruction. Let God, through his word, through the sword of his Spirit, cut that thing off of your life. Last one. We contemplate. In Colossians 3:16 in the ESV, which is what I read and study all the time, it says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I love that language. But then I looked it up in the message. And it says, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. I really love that. Let the word of Christ have the run of the house. Let it take over. Let it fill you up. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your heart out to God. So in this step, we receive what God's been speaking. We say yes to it. We acknowledge what he wants to do in our lives. And we step into agreement with it. And sometimes that takes an action. Sometimes it means that we need to forgive someone. But we receive it, we hold on to it, and then we carry it with us throughout the day. And then we intentionally bring it to the forefront of our minds as we go about our day. Bev, come up. Oh. Stealthy. She's so good. All right, we're wrapping up, I promise. I want to show you how to do this. We're going to do it. We're going to take 4 minutes. Can you hang in there for 4 minutes? Well, we're going to do it anyways. All right, can you go ahead and put the last scripture on the page? There's nothing special about this scripture. It's in my daily reading plan for today. That's why I picked it. I always read passage from Old or New Testament. I always wrap it up with a psalm. I love the psalms. And so I want you right now, we're going to do this. You might want to close your eyes. You can keep them open. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But right now, we are stepping into the presence of God because his living and active and life-giving word is here for us. His breath in these words. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence with us here and now. God, I thank you for the heaviness of your spirit and the lightness of your spirit. God, I thank you that you love to encounter your people. You love to engage with us. You love to speak to us. So we thank you. And then we read. This is Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. I'm going to pause and just reread it. Read it again. If the Lord highlights something, you stay there. Just read it, soak in it. Hear it. Now we meditate. We let it read us. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to see in this? Why did you highlight that part? What do I need in this today? Now quietly to yourself, in your head, just pray. In whatever way the Lord has been leading, ask for forgiveness, repent. Rejoice. Honor God. Repeat back to God any new revelation you've received. Tell him who he is. Now receive it. Thank God for speaking a word in his spoken word. Ask him how he wants you to carry this today. Ministry team, can you join me at the front? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word, for your spoken word. Thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for your life. Thank you, God, for giving us a way to engage with Scripture, to engage with you. God, would you help us to eat so that we can be hungrier? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.